So thank you, Jeff, for the introduction. Thank you for those few people who are sticking around for a minor crop in a minor area. So I would like to talk today on this, not being an NIRS expert, but on being a breeder who uses this as a tool, NIRS. Lori Oatway is our quality lab scientist. The other people at my station that use NIRS as a tool are Joseph Nyachiro and Flavio Capitini. And we did our development of malting quality of Hollis barley with Marta Izadorczyk and Aaron McLeod at the Grain Research Laboratory in Winnipeg. And the page down is enter. So Alberta, located in the western provinces of Canada, which is north of Montana, grows approximately 5 million tons of barley annually on 3 million acres. And only about 2% of that production is actually to Hollis barley. 50% of the acres of barley grown in Alberta are to Field Crop Development Center varieties, and Field Crop Development Center is our research station. Near-infrared spectroscopy is the use of reflected or absorbed spectra to determine chemical composition. And where is that little? Are they using it here? Ah, there we go. So when we put different samples through the machine, you'll get the spectra in this far red region of the spectra, and you'll get different reflectance from different samples. And what happens in calibration work is we'll take either the slope of the line or the area under the curve to calibrate or determine whether the slope of the line or the area under the line is related to any one character. And so we can relate it to chemical composition. Often we only use 14 or 28 actual wavelengths that are of importance, and it'll be the slope or the area that is of importance. But what's really important, where's the page up, is that it's non-destructive, it's rapid, and we can use it on almost any trait. So we have already done a lot of calibration work over the last 20 years, and Lori Oatway has been very important in the development of those calibrations. For feed quality, and this is both of hulled and hulless barley, we can determine energy and digestible energy for the pig of that barley. For barley, we can do hulled and hulless protein levels, and we can do protein digestibility. These are all very important traits for feed quality in barley. And once you've developed the calibration, what you will get is a graph such as this one, where you will fit your predicted values against the actual laboratory values, and then you'll come up with your statistics over here, which will show you how well your calibrations are fitting the data. Now, Hollis barley itself is of importance because it has a higher concentration of nutrients for hog feed. It has a better amino acid, especially in the lysine, which is a limiting amino acid, and it has better fiber content. And now fiber content, not for wiener pigs is seen here, but for sows that need fiber content very similar to humans in maintaining gut health. Another use for barley is for food. Again, this is a minor use, but it got a real boost in 2006 when the U.S. Food and Drug Administration allowed a health claim to be made for barley, that foods containing barley reduced the risk of coronary heart disease. In Canada, we were a little later getting that health claim. In 2012, Health Canada said that barley fiber helps reduce cholesterol, which is a risk factor for heart disease. So that has promoted the use of barley for food in North America. Barley is an ancient grain and has been used as a food for almost 9,000 years. But in North America, we're just learning this. So for food quality, we also have NIRS calibrations. In food barley, fiber components are the most important the traits. And so beta-glucan and soluble fiber, beta-glucan is the fiber component in barley that is what we concentrate for that fiber claim. There are other fiber components. Barley that is not hullus needs to be pearled before being used as a food barley. So the hull is the lemma impalea adhering to the grain, unlike in wheat where the lemma impalea are taken off of the grain. So in a hullus barley, that's taken off just like in wheat. So this is a calibration that we did for pearl rating. So you put it through a pearling machine, takes off the hull, takes off the aleurone layer, and you get a food product. The thing about that is it's not considered a whole grain after the pearling process, and so for some applications it's not desirable. However, for a hullus barley where you don't have to pearl it, you can still use it as for a whole grain product, which is very important in the food industry. Some of the other traits that are important, of course, are starch and lipid. For human food, we want our lipids to be low and starches can be high. As I've said, hullus barley has great benefits for the food market because it requires little or no pearling, depending on the application that you want to use it for. And because you can get specialty barleys that are actually high beta-glucan barleys, there can be a higher concentration of dietary fiber. And so you don't have to eat as much of it to make up your dietary fiber claim for any health food claim. But the most important part, and what my presentation is about here today, is hullus barley for malt. Why would we want to use hullus barley for malt? Well, in the last 15 years or so, we've gone from lauter tons to mash filtration or mash tons. And a lauter ton requires your hull on your barley for filtering out, when you make your wort, for filtering out the impurities, including your beta-glucans, from your beer. And that's what makes your nice, clean, clear, crystal, smooth beer. So you use your hulls on your barley to do that. And if you take those hulls off, as in a hullus barley, what do you use for filtration? Well, in mash tuns, they actually have filtration systems, ceramic filtration systems, that are doing the filtration for the wort. So the advantages are, if you don't have to use your hulls on your barley for filtration, then you can actually get more extract out of the same amount of barley, which means that you can produce more beer with the same amount of grain. And it also reduces the amount of spent grain that the company has to deal with. So there can be real logistics or benefits and cost benefits to using hullus barley. So we said if we're going to breed for hullus barley, we need to have enough means that's rapid, non-destructive, and effective for selection. So we are developing malting quality calibrations. So far we've taken 48 samples from 2 years of hullus lines and the malting check. Those lines have been sent to the Grain Research Lab for micromalting and wet chemistry. But before we send them off, we scan them, and then when we get the results back, we analyze them and develop the calibrations. So this is the wet chemistry, and what's important here is this is AC Metcalf over here, and you'll see that it has about 80% extract here and about 12% protein, which is where we want our malting barley check. This is the protein in blue, and you can see that our hollows tend to be high for protein. But when we come to extract, here you can see we have about 80% extract from our hull check, but you can see we have 4 to 6% higher extract from our hullus lines that are these other lines in the darker colors. When we move to the next year, again, we've got a little bit higher protein in that year. This is our AC Metcalf check, but you can see that we got a couple of lines here with the lower protein levels. Oh my. Let's see if we. But when we look at that extract again, we're still getting that really nice 4 to 6% higher extract levels, even with a line such as this one where we do have the lower protein. So there is great possibilities for hullus barley in this malt market. And when we develop the calibrations using these 98 samples, you can see that she's getting a pretty good prediction calibration here, where this is the lab results and these are the fine extract. You can't read all of that, but when we go to our next slide, these are our the first three columns here. This is actually the wet chemistry that we get from the GRL. You see we get some nice ranges here in the material that we have. The standard deviations for some of this stuff is really high, especially for something like beta-glucan. And here is the standard error of the calibration. Here's the R-squared of the calibration, and then the standard error of the calibration validation. So you can see that even with just 96 samples, that Lori has been able to develop some calibrations where we're getting some really good fit here, even with a trait such as beta-glucan that has such high standard deviation from the wet chemistry. And the one thing I wanted to say is this is beta-glucan of the malt. So Lori is being able to develop a calibration here to predict. This isn't a measurement of the actual beta-glucan that is in the grain, but she's predicting after this is malted how much beta-glucan is going to be left in the malt. So she's getting an R-squared there of 0.85, which is really high, really good calibration here. Interestingly, something like diastatic power, which we traditionally have a really good calibration for diastatic power in our hulled malting barley, and John O'Donovan can attest to that because he uses it all the time. But here we are, our R-squared is somewhat lower, so we still have to do some figuring out what's happening here. And again, it's just preliminary. These are our initial calibrations. And so we still know that we need to do some work on these calibrations, but when we get them, we will have rapid, non-destructive, and you can use it as a predictive tool in a breeding program. But I wanted to show you the wet chemistry because I wanted to show you, hey, we're getting that 4 to 6% higher extract with hullus barley. That's what we want. There is enough variation in our germplasm that we can do selections for. And so here is something that we can breed for. My final slide is I would just like to thank all of the people that have made this project possible, the Government of Alberta, the Government of Canada through Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, the Growing Forward 2 project, Alberta Barley, which is our commission in Alberta, the Brewing and Malting Barley Research Institute, which is our industry, both the malting and brewing industry, and Western Grains Research Foundation. Thank you.